Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello and welcome to the August 6th edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins and the human hand grenade Danny Only. And guys, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, but I want to start off with something real quick. There's been a lot of change going on throughout Georgia. We talked to Jimmy Rave a couple weeks ago about the Rampage Pro Wrestling situation. Stephen Platinum made some big announcements on Friday about the future of Empire/PCW. But yesterday, I was at TNT Pro Wrestling up in Clayton, and it turns out it was the last TNT Pro Wrestling show as we know it. So got Jen Holbrook on the line. Jen Holbrook.
Hey, real quick, wait. Real quick.
Yes, sir. What?
Was Christy Whiplash there?
She was there. She held up the banner, and I'll let Jen Holbrook-Sells explain more about the banner and what happened there yesterday.
Right on.
She was there. She was there, yes.
She beat a man up. She beat up a man, actually.
She did. She did. She's a badass. Man, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to mess with her.
Could she beat up?
But
I think Danny would want to mess with her.
Donnie.
Oh, well.
He had on purple, so he had that going for him.
And he comes out to Justin Bieber, so you got to love the guy, right?
I love Tommy.
But, yeah, we are experiencing some changes as well. Officially last night we became Pro Wrestling Resurrection. And a little bit of the backstory. As sometimes happens in business, when you don't do your homework, when you start a business, it can catch up with you. And unfortunately, it just so happens that there is another trademarked and copyrighted TNT Professional Wrestling. So in order for us to grow any bigger than we are, put out DVDs, make merchandise, which is really what we want to do, and grow and get better, we decided that we had to change the name. And it just kind of coincided with us working with some angel investors and getting a little bit of influx of time and talent and a little bit of money. And we decided there was no time like the present. So TNT Pro Wrestling in Clayton, Georgia, officially ended, done. And we are Pro Wrestling Resurrection. We have the name trademarked and the websites and the Twitter and the Facebook and everything else. So Pro Wrestling Resurrection.
All right, so your first show as Pro Wrestling Resurrection will be August 19th, is that right?
August the 19th, yes. We to coincide with the name change and, you know, all of the really great things we want to do to advance our company, advance the wrestlers we have working for us, you know, really advance professional wrestling, we decided that one of those things would be to also move to Sundays. There's a huge talent pool and that we can draw them from North and South Carolina as well as Georgia and all over. So Sundays are really going to work for us. So we have a huge promotions team, and hopefully August the 19th, the first Pro Wrestling Resurrection show, will be one of the biggest we've ever had.
All right, cool. Well, Jen, we will have somebody on. I don't know if it'll be you, but someone will be on again next Monday to talk a little bit more about specific changes that are going to be made, but
I did want to mention that Danny Only, a former TNT tag team champion, is more than welcome to settle any scores he might have with Jagged Edge, perhaps, at PWR, whenever he feels the need.
Yeah, I was about to say, as you probably have heard, tonight is, as far as I know, Danny Only's last show with Georgia Wrestling Now. So I was going to ask you if you had anything to say to him or any stories about him or anything like that you wanted to share.
Any stories? though I have to say that that I've been in the business a little while. I won't say exactly how long, but Danny Only, one of the most, and I think I can say this, one of the most entertaining and intelligent wrestlers that I've known. So I am really thankful that he came up to TNT and he graced us with his presence. And like I said, he is a great tag team champion for us. We'll go down in the history books. And Danny, the door is open. So PWR, your new home base, when you get back, just give it some thought.
I definitely appreciate that. Thank you very much. I had a blast up there. It was a lot of fun. And thank you.
And well, I'll make sure Whiplash is on the card with you.
Awesome.
How about that? Yeah, that'll be my gift to you. Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.
All right. And from there, we've got our only scheduled guest tonight, which is a friend of yours, Danny, from Beyond Wrestling, and I think he's also wrestled for.
If you don't mind, I'll take the reins on the introduction.
Oh, go ahead. I've
known this dude since my first Beyond Wrestling show. He right off the bat, I knew he knew something, you know. I knew he knew exactly what was right and what was wrong with professional wrestling. We got along right off the bat. When we went up there with the Bullets, I ended up hanging with him and partying with him probably the whole night. He's controversial isn't even a word. It doesn't even give him enough justice. This guy is a mutant. This guy is a beast. This guy is an absolute terror to everyone around him who's not on the side. Ladies and gentlemen, fucking Chris Dickinson.
Yeah, hi.
Chris Dickinson, fucking, welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now.
No, thanks for having me. I mean, that was quite the. That was honestly the best introduction I've ever heard for myself.
It would have been a lot better than what I would have been able to come up with. So
I mean, absolutely. I love the part. Controversial doesn't even begin to describe him.
I think you need to make t-shirts to say that.
See, the thing is, I don't think I'm a very controversial guy. I got an eyeglass appointment tonight. I got to get my eyes checked. Hopefully I get to play with my niece before she goes to bed tonight. I went to the gym today. I eat a lot. I watch the NFL Network. But apparently, like, just because pro wrestling is pro wrestling and everybody just got their thumb up their ass 24/7, you know, that makes me controversial. It's because, you know, a lot of people just need to create a little drama in their own boring lives. And for some reason, I seem to ooze that controversy that they love to bite on.
Well, I get it a lot here too, you know, and it's like you're controversial if you speak your mind for the positive or the negative. And to me, the most boring motherfuckers in the world are the ones who just sit there and let life pass by, don't say anything. And
absolutely.
A lot of what you've been doing is a lot of what I've been doing down here. Like, I don't know if you saw the shirt that I had made, but, like, my biggest, my deal is get better, get out. You know, so, like,
yeah,
when I speak my mind.
Yeah, Tyson said something about it to me.
Yeah, so
barbershop window exclusive.
Yeah, it was. We got to tell them to remake it, man, but... But when I speak my mind, people would get all butthurt and be like, oh, that's, you know, it's not cool, or he's a nice guy, you should leave him alone. And I'm like, man, fuck you, no.
Well, so, listen, it's funny, I just had a conversation with Drew, the guy who runs Beyond Wrestling. His name's Denver, Colorado, Drew Cordero. I was talking to him about it maybe 15 minutes before I talked to you, and I was talking about why I particularly am not very fond of wrestling. As usual, I talk about that all the time. But more so, like, legitimate reasons, I love wrestling. I'll always love it. I'll always be have a big, you know, chunk of it inside of me because it's just, I grew up loving it. I've been pursuing some sort of, succession in pro wrestling since I'm about 14 years old. And at this point in my life, having gone through the independence, having seen how it really works, having met a lot of people and seeing what it really takes to really get ahead, you know, you come to a point where maybe you'll go through an injury like mine, and then you disappear, and then you really see who even really gave a flying fuck about you. I'm sorry, can I curse on the show?
How about it?
Sure. The FCC doesn't pay attention to us.
Oh, okay, all right. So you'll go through something like that where you'll get hurt. And I mean, listen, I was telling him the same story. This is a big turning point I mean, I always questioned professional wrestling, the morals of the people involved. I mean, you know, just a lot of the guys. It's just a very, obviously everybody knows it's a very cutthroat business, but there's just a lot of lowlives involved. And, you know, to really get ahead in wrestling, it's all about, you know, it's all about you kissing a little ass, and you got to have the best group of friends. That's really all it comes down to. And I was a little quiet, and I was more about just like going and trying to prove myself with wrestling. I was never the kind of guy to make a million friends, or wrestling was not always my life completely. I have an outside life too that I really ignored for like 2-3 years when I was like, you know, continuously really seriously pushing wrestling. And the day I got hurt, I mean, I was on the same show with guys that I had been on the show on shows with for about 2 years in a row. There's guys in that locker room I had their first 1 or 2, 3 matches. They're people that I had known for such a long time. And I couldn't walk. I completely blew out my ACL. I tore all my cartilage in my knee. And I was just dumped there on the floor. And, you know, obviously I know the show will go on, but there was just guys there that you would expect to ask you if you're all right. They didn't even fucking look at you. You know, and they didn't even give me a look. Didn't even ask me if I was okay. I mean, nobody called me. Nobody asked me how I was doing. It's just, hey, I guess it's like that, you know. I guess it's like that. But that is how it is. And unfortunately, that's not something I really want to be a part of. I mean, I've seen a lot of things way worse than what happened to me happen to other people. And it just makes you think, like, what kind of – this isn't a sport. It's nowhere near a sport. I mean, this is not anything nowhere near as legitimate as professional football, you know, professional baseball. It's such a real low-down, trashy carnival act that gets glorified times like 100 by the people involved in it to try to make themselves feel like they're doing something so much more legitimate with their lives. I mean, we all love pro wrestling. I wouldn't have been involved in it in the capacity I was if I didn't absolutely love it. But you have to also be able to look from an outside perspective when you really love something and think about the pros and the cons. Think about the negatives and the positives. And I'm towards like the end of my tenure with pro wrestling, I started to just see way too many negatives in with who I am as a person. I felt like I wasn't going to be able to get past a certain point unless I sacrificed my own personal beliefs and I made a fucking total fool of myself. And I didn't want to do that. Wrestling was not worth that. When I wasn't getting paid nearly enough money, nobody's getting paid nearly enough money for what they do. Nobody's being compensated with any sort of benefits whatsoever. I'm lucky that I was covered for health insurance under my mom. Otherwise, I would have been completely fucked. And the first time I hurt my knee, which was 2 years ago, it was 2 years before it, not in 2009, I hurt my knee at Beyond Wrestling Show. That was the first injury. I wasn't covered then. I still wrestled on that, you know, and that was my choice. But still, you know, it's a real shitty business. There really isn't a light at the end of the tunnel. It's all about who you're friends with. And you got to be an ass kisser. It's not, and you know what? Everybody could say that's everything in life, that's every job, that's every career. But pro wrestling, in a lot of ways, when you really dissect it, pro wrestling, it's as a business, it does not have the right to treat people the way it does when it's something so fucking stupid as pro wrestling is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to think about it like that.
It's, you know, it's one thing if you're looking at, you know, like for anybody who ever goes online and, you know, looks up old, like old Japanese matches, you know, and they're in Tokyo Dome and Kurokan Hall, you know, and they're in front of, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people. It's one thing if that's the case, but it's a completely different thing when you're doing what Dick was talking about. You know, you're blowing out your knee to wrestle in front of 15, 20, 30, or even what is considered really good now, which if you look back at it, it's abysmal. If you draw a crowd of 300 people, everybody considers that a raging success.
Yeah. That was the biggest shows I ever wrestled was maybe the most 500 people. I mean, and that was huge. That was like a big deal. That was like in the 2 year period, independent wrestling died so fast. It dropped so fast. When I was going to shows, I mean, I was going to Jersey All Pro shows like consistently. I remember Ring of Honor shows. It would be like 400, 500, 600 people. I was lucky towards the beginning when I started to get good bookings if those shows drew like 300 people. You know what I mean? And it just got worse and worse and worse. I watched companies fall apart over the years. Sad.
But there is hope. I posted something the other day, a picture that was on GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, and it was a show called Crossfire Pro Wrestling, I think, that was in Nashville with a sold-out building. And yeah, I don't know how many people were there, but I'd wrestle in front of a crowd like that 5 times a week.
Word.
So there's still hope. You know, shows can still draw. You just have to do the right thing, and part of that is getting rid of the shit, getting rid of the filth. Getting rid of the people who you can look at. And, I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Not everybody has to be an Adonis. Not everybody has to look like CM Punk or Triple H or Randy Orton. But you
come
look
on,
back
CM Punk doesn't really look that great. Let's be honest, guys. Come on.
I'm cheering the person. He's
the poster boy. Like, I heard one of his interviews once. He was like, people ask him all the time, like, wow, you guys really don't work out that much anymore, huh?
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, there's room for everybody, but when you look back at somebody like Jerry Gordy or Dick the Bruiser or Dick Slater, these guys look like they could really fuck you up.
Yeah, they were legit, because they really would. Those guys were legitimate tough guys, dude.
Right, and now you go to a show, and you got a guy who's bought some kick pads, and he's got a singlet that he got from Dick's Sporting Goods, and he's fluffy and round, and... You know, he's out of shape till his cheeks get flushed when he walks to the ring, and you look at him and you're like, I can beat the shit out of this kid without even breaking a sweat. Why am I paying money to see him? And then somebody, because he's
pregnant, I'm going to see him, I'm going to see him.
Fucking angle and give him a belt.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's what you just mentioned. There's millions of those cases out there, which is what makes... maybe. One second. Unfortunately, there is a million of those cases out there in the world, and that makes it harder for people who are really busting their ass to try to succeed in the business. Nobody can make any money. It's because wrestling has just been put through the mill of just how unbelievably fake it is. I mean, you would never see a guy like that, you know, somebody who's just out of shape, can't do nothing, just going and attempting to get into to walk on camp for like the New York Jets. You know what I mean? It's like you would never see anything like that in a legitimate sport. It's because it's real. It takes real talent. It's legitimate. And something like professional wrestling, it became a joke where everybody could do it. In the late 90s, when it got super popular, you had hundreds of guys who maybe wrestled a few matches all over the country. Opening up schools, opening up wrestling schools, and also, you know, just making millions of these pro wrestlers out there who have no business being pro wrestlers. Meanwhile, back in the day, you had guys like you were talking about, Terry Gordy, Dick Slater, who got into the business when it was, you know, completely different. It was you had to really know somebody. You had to get asked to be a part of the business. You got to have something special. You know, you couldn't just be any Joe Schmo. Like, you know, you had to really earn that spot. It was so much different back in the day. And it's today anybody could be a pro wrestler. And it honestly, that's what really killed the business, I think.
Hey Chris, I have a question for you. When you talk about your wrestling career, You're referring to it in the past tense. Are you still actively wrestling, or are you
no,
consider yourself...
I'm done. I mean, I'm really done as far as, like, trying to make it anywhere. Dude, listen, the problem is like, what we're talking about, all this... I was basically a mark. I was a mark. We're all marks. But me, I was a mark for all the stuff we're talking about. When I thought of myself as a pro wrestler, I thought of myself as Dr. Death Steve Williams. I thought of myself as Terry Gordy, as Hawk and Animal... As you know, crazy, huge gaijin motherfuckers who are gonna like go over to Japan and kill everybody, and you know, like Bruiser Brody, like these guys, the independent wrestlers who could just go and do anything and survive. And I just that's all I wanted to do was be like that. I never desired to make it to the WWF. I never had that dream of making a shit ton of money. It's because that wasn't what it was about to me. I was really into the Japanese stuff from like maybe 14, 15 years old, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like All Japan Pro Wrestling Gaijin. I wanted to go and I wanted to just be something like that, not like a big superstar celebrity kind of guy. And I didn't realize it until after the fact when I got hurt, where I started to see guys that had like, and I mean, no offense, I don't mean to sound like a dick, but I started to see guys who have absolutely zero charisma, who can't cut a promo worth of shit, getting WWE contracts, you know, and also guys that don't even really look like they hit the gym, getting WWE contracts. I'm thinking to myself, wow, maybe I went in the wrong direction. You know, maybe I should have been pursuing that, and I probably would have been more well off and not had to kill myself so hard. But that was a personal thing. When I wrestled that style, I really believed in it. I was a total fucking mark for that shit, and that pissed a lot of people off. It's because nobody wanted to get kicked around and the crap kicked out of them by like a 220-pound, juiced-up, angry Italian dude from New York. Like, nobody wanted that. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I completely understand it, because that's not what pro wrestling is about. But 19, 20-year-old me, that's what I believed in. I was a total mark, and I was being selfish. So I had to learn the hard way. But when I started to come out of it, and I started to change my style, and things I felt like I started to really enjoy everything I was doing, was because I would talk with guys like John Moxley, and he would tell me, you know, you should really think about what you have that a lot of other guys don't, and accentuate that instead of doing what a lot of other guys do already. You know, because I was always being compared to Loki or Davey Richards or guys like that, and I thought it was cool because I liked them. But then after a while, you just realize that it's not cool, because what do I have personally that I feel sets me apart from those guys? It's like the ability to cut a promo. And you start to realize what pro wrestling is really all about. What did you really love about pro wrestling when you were a kid? Because pro wrestling, no matter what, I don't care, it's always going to be about kids. Especially when it comes to making money, getting to television, it's always about the kids. If you want to be successful in pro wrestling, you have to kind of cater to that kind of a demographic. And I guess I realized it a little too late, and then by the time I realized what it really takes to be successful in pro wrestling, I thought to myself, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore. I have a lust for life in other directions, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dick, because it was something that was brought up on a few Mark message boards and the internet and all that shit. What if you want to talk about it, it's up to you. But what was the incident that went down at AIW?
The whole thing with Nixon?
Yes.
Well, Nixon was basically, it's basically me, this guy Ricky, Christian Faith, who's now Ricky Shane Page, Bobby Beverly, and Eric Ryan, they're all kind of like Midwest journeymen indie, who I don't think ever really got a fair chance, or whenever they did, you know, kind of had the legs cut out from under them because of whatever reasons, I guess, unexplainable things. But I guess they'd always felt a little slighted. And I've always felt a little slighted, even though I've had some good opportunities, but I always feel like things held me back that had nothing to do with wrestling. They had all to do with not being in the promoter's ear enough, not being so much of an ass-kisser, I guess. But then, listen, I could also talk from the other perspective of that and say that's what, I guess, a part of the wrestling business you have to embrace if you want to be successful. You have to try to have complete control over every situation you're in. How can you get this promoter to use you properly? Can you stay in this guy's ear? How could you help him out? Like, it's a whole process. See, me, I just wanted to show up and I wanted to wrestle and just do my part on the show, and that's just not good enough. So AIW put together this whole angle, and they wanted me to be basically the mouthpiece of the group. It's because they know I don't give a shit, and I'll say whatever I want. And it's true, because I have no regrets, and I'm not worried about where I'm going with pro wrestling. I mean, in this day and age,
you could make it in pro wrestling, and you don't have to worry about being on anybody's bad side. It's because of the internet. Nobody. I don't think anybody cares anymore about independent wrestling. Like, it's not going to make you or break you if you're a top star in the indies. I don't even think there is such thing as a top star in the indies anymore. I think it's, like, completely dead.
All right.
Truth bomb. Like, that's a truth bomb. You just kind of have to let it settle.
I have another question about AIW that is somewhat unrelated, but Danny only has his thing for Christy Whiplash and Sarah Del Rey. My favorite female wrestler is Jessica Havoc. Did you ever work any shows with her?
Have I ever worked with Jessica Havoc?
Yeah.
Maybe like one or two back in the day. I remember I've seen her wrestle a few times in the tag team matches with Haley Hatred. Haley Hatred was her tag team partner. But, I haven't seen Jessica Havoc wrestle recently. I've heard she's doing pretty good for herself. Like, she's pretty good now.
All right, cool.
Why? What does it matter?
What's that?
Well, what does it matter?
I was just curious. She seems like she's someone that stands out amongst the indie female wrestlers, and we haven't seen her down here in Georgia. Yeah, there's a whole Twitter account just for Jessica Havoc's boobs.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's like, I think they got their own zip code. I remember one time I wrestled an AIW show, and she was there in the locker room getting ready with Haley Hatred. And I kind of, like, had a thing for Haley Hatred. And I was, like, planning my match out with this kid I wrestled. And he was, like, he couldn't even concentrate because he was just so fixated on Jessica Havoc's boobs. Like, I'll never forget it. And I remember, like, looking at one point, and she was, like, fisting them in the bra or the wrestling shirt or whatever it was. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, but those girls are like, if you ever really look at those girls, like, they're big chicks. Like, they'll kick your ass.
Yeah, she
like
looks
they ain't like your little pretty girls, like, oh, you know, a hot girl down at the beach. Like, no, they're like they're playing defensive end on the high school football team.
That shit's hot. That shit's fucking hot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it definitely has its place in my dick. All right, put it that way.
Hey, I want a chick that can out deadlift me. That's awesome.
What's up?
I said I want a chick that can out deadlift me. That's awesome to me.
Yeah, dude. When I wrestled Haley Hatred, I was off the gas. And I was, like, really, like, athletic and, like, just worried about conditioning and trying to, like, be, like, fucking Kurt Angle, like, best wrestler possible, could go, like, 60 minutes. And I was maybe down to, like, 190. Like, that bitch looked bigger than me. Like, she was just that jacked. Like, she's just a big, thick bitch. And, you know, some girls are cool like that. Like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, in WWE, I think, like, the hottest chicks are, like, Beth Phoenix and Natty.
Yeah, I remember seeing Natty Neidhart at WrestleMania when it was here in Atlanta and just being fucking just stunned. I couldn't believe that, you know, like, wait a minute, there's all these, you know, prettied up model looking girls that they trot out there. I'm like, this one here knocks them all down. I would burn the rest of them up to get to this one.
Yeah, but the thing is, those girls, like Beth and Natty, like, they're not like your average indie wrestler girl like that. Like, they ain't sloppy at all. Like, those chicks are in the gym, they're on the diet, they're really, like, they go hard. They really don't screw around, and that's why I admire girls like that. It's because, you know, girls that could have that kind of a persistence and a consistency with the dieting and the training. I mean, this, like, the fitness model girls, I have the most respect for chicks like that. It's because, you know, it's not easy for guys to get it together like that. When a girl could do it, it's just that much more impressive.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that was part of the reason I asked you about that. But another question I have for you is, Danny knows you from Beyond Wrestling, but we're down in Georgia. Have you ever wrestled down here at all?
I never wrestled down in Georgia, but I have wrestled in, like, Alabama. I've wrestled in Florida. I like it a lot down south, honestly. I just like it, period. not even just wrestling-wise. I think it's, like, a really nice place. Every time I went down there, I was just blown away because I've lived in basically in New York City my entire life. I live, like, basically 15 minutes right outside Manhattan, and, you know, I don't really know anything about the South, so I only started going there for wrestling. And when I go down there, I fucking loved it. And I've been through Alabama, Tennessee, the Carolinas, Georgia, freaking Virginia, all those spots. And, like, oh, the food is the best. Everything is cheap as shit. The weather is amazing. And, I mean, the wrestling was really cool. Like, the fans were really easy, and it was different. It was going down on trips like that, the long car rides with the guys like Jon Moxley, talking to him about, like, well, you know, how to be better, how to stand out more, and then actually getting down there and wrestling in front of, I guess, a more of a family, old-school crowd that doesn't expect so much, you know, ritzy moves and all that fancy, smanchy bullshit. They want to see more real wrestling. And that's a pleasure to me. I wish more people were like that. I got away from wanting to wrestle in front of the smart mark crowds. It's because they're just so pompous, and they really don't know anything about wrestling. It's like they're like the same guy who's going to sit there and tell you that Ben Roethlisberger isn't a good quarterback because he doesn't put anywhere near up the numbers as like a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers. It's like, yeah, well, Ben Roethlisberger also consistently fucking wins all the time. It's like, but they're like the same armchair quarterback who's going to tell you who's going to do good in the fantasy draft, who to draft, you know, because this guy's not a good player, because this is like, this guy's never ran a lap on a track in his life, let alone, like, you know, been in a gym, and he wants to tell you who's a better athlete. I feel like indie wrestling fans, the worst, the absolute worst. No idea, no clue whatsoever about what pro wrestling's really about. They basically create their own version of what pro wrestling is in their minds and try to live vicariously through the people that they choose to like. You know what I mean? That's basically all it is. They're the biggest losers, too. The biggest losers, yep. like the biggest nerds, the biggest just complete and utter pompous asses. Like, I've never met or seen more just revolting human beings than the smart mark independent wrestling fan, like, to a T. You know what I mean? They're not all horrible. Not all of them are bad people, but most of them are just straight assholes that have no right to be judging anyone in any sort of an athletic contest whatsoever. You know what I mean? Because they're the same guy who's sitting there eating a fucking bag of Doritos with, like, the cheap-ass fake nacho cheese sprayed in the fucking bag. Like, you know, they're just... I'm sorry, like, that shit just fucking repulses me. And then, like I said, I'll go back to the point before. You'd never see a fucking slop-fest piece of shit wrestler playing fucking halfback in the NFL, you know? But it's just, pro wrestling just has so many inconsistencies and so many fucking weird quirks that it allows people like that to have that power to judge people, which will then influence a promoter in making a decision of who he's going to book based on this, 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 and that. And it's really fucking disgusting.
God, I love you.
It's true, bro. Come on, you know this shit is true. Wrestling is so fucked up. It's the stupidest fucking thing. It's like the best thing. It's the best thing, but it's so bad at the same time.
We couldn't have had any better guests for Danny Only's last show.
Definitely not. Right, but
Chris, we do have to take it, dude. Like, Danny Only is somebody you should, like, people should have respect for. Not for the fact that he's a pro wrestler or he's, like, a nice guy, but for the fact that this motherfucker did time in the fucking armed forces. Like, these are the people that like, idiots in this fucking world need to look up to. People that, like, really make some serious sacrifices to fucking, you know, find a way through life or find some sort of success. I'm not just going to grease your ass because it's your last show, but I'll never forget you telling me, you were like, if I didn't go into the military, I don't know what I would have been doing with my life. That shit saved my ass. It gave me a career. It gave me a trade. And you know what? When you hear stuff like that from somebody in wrestling, you're like, thank God that somebody like this exists in wrestling. It's because there's 90% of the people involved that have absolutely nothing like that. All they have is wrestling. And those are the people that are the ones that cause the problems, that cause the drama, that need something to just live vicariously through. It's because in their real lives, when they go home, they have absolutely nothing. And it's a sad thing, but it's very true.
Yeah, it is, man, because when I come home, I got a big house and a chick with big tits that's married to me, so it's awesome.
Yeah, there you go, man. You can't. It's like anything in life. Everybody has dreams, but there's always reality. And as soon as you lose grip of reality is when you start to completely fail. I don't care what anybody says. Let's talk about Randy Orton right now, his situation. Like, he's on the cusp of possibly getting fired, right, because he smoked pot and took a few D-balls. Right? Like, I mean, come on. That's going to get one of your top stars fired in the World Wrestling Federation? If that guy gets fired, let's talk. Think about his expenses. Like, where is he going to make the money to pay for his expenses? TNA? Come on. Eventually, you know, he's not going to make as much, nowhere near as much money as he was making in WWE. Not going to make that money in Japan. Not going to make that money in TNA. The guy's already got some problems. Eventually, his life is going to fall apart. What else is he supposed to do? There is no such thing as a retirement plan for pro wrestlers. You know, what is he going to do, go into his own business like every other pro wrestler does? There's such a handful of guys that were involved in the business that found financial success, that went on to be consistent and find another career or run their own business and be successful with it. All you ever hear is a majority of failed stories. You never hear success stories, and it's really fucking sad.
Well, on that note, we got to take a quick commercial break. Chris, you're welcome to stay on and continue afterwards.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm talking a lot.
No, that's why Danny wanted you on the show, and that's why we didn't schedule any other guests. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I guess we'll keep talking. What's that?
I said go to break.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. We still have Chris Dickinson on the line. And,
was that the NWA theme song or something?
Yes, it is.
It is some old NWA thing, yes.
God,
but
that was dope.
Danny, you might hate us for this. You might love us for this. I'm not sure, but Matt and I have sort of brought in some surprise guests to see you off in a proper fashion. And I want to bring our first special guest online. I'll let him announce himself. Who is this?
This is the man who is an explosive of the kicking variety. I am the most adequate big man in Georgia. And I just wanted to let Danny know that I am going to take his advice, and I am indeed going to get better. Well, no, I take that back. That's impossible. I'm going to go ahead and just get out. And I don't want a confrontation. I don't want to fight Danny. I didn't want to come on the show for that reason. So no confrontation. I'm getting out. Best of luck to Mr. Only.
Danny, I believe that's a locomotive. Oh, he's gone. He did a jagged edge drive-by.
He did a jagged edge drive-by. Oh, you're doing some good, Danny. You're doing us all good.
All right. Well, we've got another guest from Danny's past, present, and probably future. His Hate Junkies tag team partner, Strychnine.
What about bitches?
How you doing, Strychnine?
I was given a crash. Apparently, this is your life, Danny only sort of thing. So it works. He and I have been up and down the road for. It's been like fucking 4 years. I think we tagged up in 2008. Back when I was apparently absolutely terrible, so he had to carry me. And then months into our future, I got a little better, but then he got a little bit hurt, and so I kind of had to carry him. And we finally, 4 years later, gotten to the point where we're equal standing because I don't suck and he's 100%. And now you're leaving me, you asshole. But yeah. on a complete note, I want to say this is one of the few serious things I have to say on the subject of. I learned a lot from this motherfucker, and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my blood brother in arms, Danny Only. And it's really appreciated when Jeremy Vane had that light bulb and decided to tag us up that for, I don't know, 6 fucking months we didn't like each other. How long would you say it was that we didn't argue or fight, we just weren't friends?
Yeah, I'm just listening. I'd say it's about 6 to 8 months. I'm sorry, I didn't know I had my phone on mute because I was chewing ice. But I got good news for Strychnine. When I come back in about a year's time, it has already been promised to me that if they still are the holders of those titles, that we will get one more go at the NWA Tag Team titles against Dark City Fight Club. My good friends, your good friends, Corey Chavis and John Davis, and we'll get in the ring and kick the shit out of each other like we've already done 3 times before.
Oh, yeah. This will be those things where you're going to have a lot of time to harbor a lot of anger at things in general. You'll finally have a chance to fucking take it out on this motherfucker. I have a little bit of time to hone my craft even more than it is, so I do believe that whenever you come back, it'll be time for the Hate Junkies to fucking wear those world tag team straps, because, you know, we've held belts basically everywhere we've been for more than time to have a cup of coffee. But we've come within spitting, within a fucking red con hair's distance of the big set of belts, but we haven't got them yet, and I think it's about time we did.
When I come back, I will not stop until we get them. And if we don't take them from Dark City, we'll take them from whoever got them from them. I'm not stopping until we get them. That's
dude,
my goal.
What if you end up in, like, an Afghani prison? Like, what the hell are you going to do over there?
Hey, I will tell you who I'll be surrounded by, man. All those guys that you read about in the news that they can't put their name out and they cover their faces up and they got big-ass beards. I'm going to be surrounded with those guys all the time. So I have nothing to do but train and eat and lift and train.
Nice, bro. So what we can do is somehow, even if we have to cheat, somehow
turned Dark City Fight Club on to Locomotive's dietitian. Well, that'll give us a real good advantage. A real good advantage going into that match. I think we'll be fine. Have you ever been one, good sir Danny Only, to not trust my ninja tactics?
Nah, man.
Exactly. That's what that's kind of just.
That's right.
We've got another caller.
Yo, Strychnine, I heard about your ninja tactics in like the parking lot or some shit with somebody, some deceased ex-wrestler's daughter. Wow. I'm gonna plead the fifth on that one. Shit, fuck. I'm just saying.
I don't know if you were like your girlfriend or something.
Yeah, so I got one of those right now. But on the other note, point being is that in the grand scheme of the world, it might be a violation of bro code if I knew that guy. But yeah, I'm good.
All right, we've got another caller. I don't know if you really want to talk to this guy, but this is the person that you faced on Saturday in the dog collar match for PCW. This is the Jagged Edge. Jagged, what do you have
good
for
Danny
on this
match? Good afternoon, everybody. Shut up. I want to say this.
No,
I need to break into the going away part. I'm not going to hang up.
Go, Danny. I muted him for a second. Go, Danny.
All right. This is what I'm going to say. I got nothing to say, all right? I got nothing negative to say. Jagged Edge beat me, period. He beat me. I said I was going to beat him. I took it to him, and I couldn't do it. I got nothing else to say. He beat me. Congratulations, bro. You won.
May I interject something?
Can I say what I need to say? This is what I called to say. Not to interrupt Danny's going away party. I simply wanted to say that as a man, Danny Only, I want you to know I got nothing but respect for you. As a worker, I have nothing but respect for you. For my own selfish reasons, I wish you'd stay your ass here, but I understand why you got to go. And I just wanted to say it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait for you to get back so we can do this shit all over again.
This guy sounds really fucking black and mean.
Yes, he is. Very black.
Nine, you know this guy from... He's laid you out in Anarchy a couple times, I think, right?
I think it was Dickinson, wasn't it? Hey, I will say this, because Dickinson doesn't know who Jagged Edge is. Jagged Edge is a dude who wrestled for a while. He did the right thing, and he took some time off to take care of his family. He came back. The dude, I can't say negative about him because he's everything that wrestling should be. Big, he can fight, he knows what he's doing. He's what wrestling should be, and unfortunately, he's the one that took me out. That's just the way it goes. So, Nick, I think you like him.
Well, he just did a Jagged Edge drive-by again, so he's gone. Strychnine, you wanted to say something there?
Well, I want Jagged Edge to be on the phone, but whether he's on the phone or not, he can hear
he's
me.
He's listening. He might call back.
Here's the thing. Well, as you match with Danny Only, you beat Danny. You beat my brother at arms, which means that you're a tough motherfucker. But this also means you have a year to which you will have to deal with me. Anyone who knows me knows that that's not exactly a fun place to be. Just saying, ass.
You gotta fuck up.
You have to deal with me for a year, and that's not good.
All right. Well, I'm sure you heard that, and I'm sure we'll hear from him again in the next few weeks, as we always do.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
I'm the guy that Danny Only says he wouldn't pick a fight with, so put it that way.
Hey, we got 12 minutes left. What else is going on?
We had some more people that said they were going to call, but they're not calling, so I guess we can talk about Dickens some more.
Guys, I want to say thanks for having me, and I want to say goodbye to Danny Only. Be safe, brother. Don't fucking get into any bolt thick shit where you can't watch your ass. Just be careful and do what you got to do, brother. Be careful.
Yo, before you leave, when are you and Jaguar supposed to run through here?
I think Jaguar is going to be going down there. I'm not going to be able to make it due to, like, work circumstances. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to go down. But he's going down. I think he's actually going to be flying down to Florida, though. He's going to be down there for the August 11th and then around that time.
Oh, okay. All right. Right on, man. Well, next time you talk to him, tell him to get in touch with me. I'm missing that.
I will, man. I'll hit him up. Because, I mean, I know you're probably not that far from where he's going to be at, so maybe you guys could do a little something.
Possibly, possibly. Hey, right, man, thank you for being on the show, man. You take care of yourself, and I'll be in touch.
No problem, brother. Be safe.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Chris.
No problem, guys. Be good, everybody, and thanks for having me.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
So, Danny?
Yeah.
Got a few minutes left. Is there anything you want to say in your last 10 minutes? You'll of course, have your fun fact with Danny only at the end of the show. But we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah, man. I want to say I'm going to call somebody out here, and he's not going to call in because you've already extended the invitation and he respectfully declined. And if he calls in next week, feel free to text me and say, call in, and I'll call in, and we can have a gentlemanly discussion. All right? This is my issue. There's a guy named Lance Dreamer who I've never met personally. I've only talked to via Twitter, via Facebook. At least if I'd met him personally, I don't remember. I drink a little bit, which, by the way, me and my wife have agreed that we are going to limit our drinking. It's getting out of control for both of us. For those who don't know...
I've heard this before.
No, listen, this serious. We had a heart-to-heart Sunday. For those who don't know, I'm an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic, period. I'm from a family of alcoholics. I've had grandparents die of cancer from alcoholism. I've got a father who drinks repetitively and repeatedly and won't stop. And honestly, I'm not going to tell you that I'll never drink again. That's bullshit. But the way things were going, we need to take a step back. We need to reevaluate our situation and our lot in life. And we need to see if we want to continue on this path, which is nothing but a crash course. Because it's one thing if you go out and have a few drinks at the restaurant with your wife, and then you drive home and, you know, you fucking go to sleep. But it's another thing if you're telling a story that starts with, you won't believe how fucked up we got Wednesday. That's a problem. So we've talked, and I won't have a choice. I'll be in Afghanistan. For those that don't know, there's no alcohol in Afghanistan, brother. So I'll be there for a year, dried up. And she wants to limit it too, so we're going to work together and we're going to limit it. So if I did meet Lance Dream at her show, chances are I was drunk and I don't remember the shit. So, and this isn't an attack on him as a person, all right? This is strictly from a professional and a business standpoint. Lance Dreamer took to Facebook because he wanted to shit on Monstrosity Championship Wrestling because he thought that it was an embarrassment to the wrestling business. He thought that having people come out dressed like the ghost of the Von Erichs, which I agree was a little edgy, and I probably personally would have done it, but he thought that that was far worse something to do with wrestling, which, by the way, who... fuck kayfabe. Who was it that was the ghost of the Von Erichs? Which wrestlers did it, by the way?
Chip Day and Siler Cross.
Okay. Siler Cross is still looks like a fucking little 14-year-old kid, but he's a big dude, and he's somebody that if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be good. All right? He's not terrible, but he's not
very good. He's slimming down, too.
He's slimming down, but he is a big guy, and if he can get that mean streak and keep doing what he's doing, he's going to be something. Dave's already proven his worth.
From what I understand, not to interrupt you, but Siler Cross and Master Jay had, to hear Siler tell it, a pretty successful, I don't know if it was a tryout match or what, but at Combat Zone Wrestling not too long ago. And I think they're going to have more opportunities there. So, I mean, I think that says...
That's really funny. That's funny because DJ Hyde told me that me and Strict 9 didn't deserve a tryout match. So, but anyway, fuck that. I don't want to talk about that shit. what I was saying is, Chip Day has already proven himself, and I really hope that the leg injury that happened to him Saturday in Porterdale isn't anything major. I love Chip. I've known him since I've moved up here, and I love that dude. He's like family to me, and he's got a bright future too. So it's not like you had a piece of shit like, say, Chris Nelms on your fucking show and then advertising him like he's a legitimate threat to anybody. How dare you, bro? How dare you? Call somebody out and try to tell them that what they're doing is wrong because Dreamer 101 states that you know this, that, and this about wrestling. Last time I checked, brother, you ain't on the goddamn scene. You didn't make money. Your house isn't from pro wrestling. So you were on the exact same fucking category as all of us. You're scraping by hoping that somebody notices you. So if you call somebody out and you try to say that Monstrosity Championship Wrestling was a joke, again, different strokes for different folks, man. Some people don't like midget wrestling. Some people do. Some people don't like fat people. Some people do. Some people don't like the Ring of Honor style. Some people don't like the Southern style. But there's something for everyone in wrestling. However, there is something that will should never have a place in wrestling, and that's Chris Nelm being advertised on your card like he's a threat. Anybody in the state of fucking Georgia who wants to talk about being a good wrestling promoter, the instant that you put Chris Nelms on a flyer as anything else except the guy that's going to get his ass kicked in the fucking first match, you have instantly lost any credibility with me whatsoever. And if you got a problem with it, then come tell me that I'm wrong, and I will grab 400 people to tell you that you're wrong. The second you put somebody like that on a fucking flyer, you lose all credibility. You put a person like Strychnine on there who's busted his ass to get better. You put a person like me who threw all fucking three ligaments out of his right shoulder and finished the fucking match. Came back 8 months later, broke his arm, and wrestled three matches with a cast on his arm. You put that motherfucker on a flyer and say he's legit. You put people like Corey Hollis, like Chip Day, like fucking Murder One. You put people like that on a flyer who are legit. Then you can keep your credibility. Then you have the right to call and say, hey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't have had a vampire wrestling the werewolf on your show. And the thing about it wasn't even like, hey, I didn't really like it. It was, you're a fucking embarrassment to the wrestling business. You doing this brings shame to the wrestling business. Fuck you, because we are all the wrestling business. And the second that you bring somebody like that on your show and you drag that fucking whole business the fuck down, you are a poison. You are what's wrong with wrestling. So I have no problems with you personally, brother. I'm sure you're a really nice guy. I'm sure you love your mom. But don't you ever call somebody and try to tell them what they're doing wrong with wrestling when you want to put that dude on your fucking show.
All right, well, I can't say I disagree with anything you said, Danny, because I was involved in a couple of different Facebook arguments or debates or whatever, however you want to put it, and it was always me being put on the defensive about something that I wasn't really even involved in. But, I mean, just to clarify, he did have Chip Day. He did have, I think, Murder One. He had Marco Polo. You know,
He had a lot of good talent on the show. But let me tell you something. Let me ask you this, Jonathan Williams. If I sell you a dozen eggs, and in place of one of those eggs is a great big pile of shit,
all I'm going to remember is the pile of shit.
Well, especially if you point out the pile of shit.
Yeah. especially when you hype him, when you put a fucking picture with him on there saying, this man is a ticking time bomb and he's issued an open challenge, who will accept? Danny only will accept, but you're not going to book it because you know I'll fucking kill that kid. Speaking of that shit, do you remember when Tony Cozina called in and said that he was going up to the Midwest?
Yes! He said he was going to bust that kid's ass, and he busted that kid's ass.
That's right. Tony Cozina went to the Midwest, and he stretched that kid. Did he injure him? No. Did he break his leg like Hideki Matsui did? Or not Hideki Matsui, like fucking, I can't remember the guy's name because I'm on a rant. But Hulk Hogan's trainer broke his leg when he started wrestling. All right? Did he break his leg? No. He beat him up a little bit, and he stretched him. And all these fucking people that Chris Dickinson was talking about, these slime bags of the fucking internet, these sad, pathetic individuals grasping on to that last little thing that makes them think they're a part of the business because they know that Davey Richards, blah, 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 blah. These people were all going on the attack saying how unprofessional Tony Cozina is, how he's a piece of shit, how he's this, how he's that. All he did was stretch the kid. That's it. That's what fucking wrestling is. It's stretching. Bruce Santee beat the living piss out of me for 8 to 10 minutes the first time we were in the ring together. And you know what I did? I came in the back and I said, thank you. How was the match? That's a part of wrestling. You fucking idiots don't realize. You want to go on there talking shit on Tony Cozina. Let me tell you something. Tony Cozina is awesome in my book because the dude went on spracking off at the mouth, didn't call for those that want to be insider, didn't call and say, hey, Tony, look, I think we can do this thing. Do you have a problem with me maybe blasting you on fucking Facebook or Twitter? No, he just went out and was like, fuck, I'll kill Tony Cozina. Go ahead and bring him up here. And the kid was a fucking 80-pound cancer patient. So Tony beat the shit out of him. That's exactly what needs to happen. Let me come back from Afghanistan and find out somebody's been running their mouth about me, talking about how I don't belong here, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to get in the ring and kick the shit out of you. Bottom line, dude. Period. Fuck, I'm in a mood right now.
Hey, we need to wrap things up, but somewhat related to the Tony Cozina thing, there's a bunch of stuff online about that whole Team Ambition ripping somebody off for showing up and taking the money and then not working the show or whatever. I'm sure some people who listen to the show have read it. But Kyle O'Reilly had an interesting response to that on his website. And as far as I can tell, his website is just kfabe, the letter K, F-A-B-E, .wordpress.com. So I would suggest people go check that out.
Well, all I know is there's probably three people in the world who know what actually happened that night. It was the promoter and Team Ambition. Red Titus threw it on Twitter. Red Titus threw it on Twitter. He said promoters have been ripping the boys off for years. So when one of us rips a promoter off, now it's a big deal?
Well, the reason I pointed out Kyle O'Reilly's response is because everything I was seeing was just trashing Davey Richards and Tony Cozina and Kyle O'Reilly and Team Ambition and what's the other guy's name? Darren Dean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything, I read several things just talking about what assholes they were for what they did, and then Kyle O'Reilly presented their side of the story, and it was, he admitted they shouldn't have done this and that, but he also presented some things that everything else didn't mention, so I just think it was,
and I'm sure you know this term, but for those who aren't as intelligent as you, that, my friends, is what's called a paradigm shift. Real quick explanation. You're on a subway, and you see a bunch of kids running around on the subway, and they're being crazy, and they're acting nuts, and their dad is sitting in the corner with his face in his hands, and he's not doing anything, and the kids are running up and down, knocking stuff over, yelling, being obnoxious. And then you get up, and all mad, you walk over to the dad, and you're like, hey, man, why don't you get your fucking kids under control? And the dad looks up and says, I'm sorry, we just left the hospital. I just identified their mother in the morgue. I don't know exactly how to tell them. Boom, you're a piece of shit. You go back and sit down and shut up. That's a paradigm shift. You all want to go on the internet and crack off about how big a piece of shit Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Cozina are. Let me tell you, Davey Richards, Tony Cozina, and Kyle O'Reilly are three of the most dedicated wrestlers that I know. It's not just a fucking gimmick. I mean, yeah, you can say what you want about the MMA, pro wrestling, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. But those dudes eat, sleep, and breathe, train. They work. They work. They work. They work. So I don't know what happened, so I'm not going to speak on it. But nobody else should either.
Right. Well, there's two sides, and in this case, eight sides to a story because so many people are involved. So that was why Kyle O'Reilly's response was probably, you know, I'm sure he's speaking for everyone on his side of that story, and it was just good to see someone came out. And he was honest. It seemed like he was honest about it. He said they shouldn't have done this and that, but kind of justified some of it. So anyway, that's that. But before we get to Danny Only's fun fact, couple of things. I want to thank you, Danny, for filling the role of co-host over the past few months, and I think you've made the show much more interesting. You brought in some guests that we probably wouldn't have known about or thought about asking to come on, and you've just provided some insight that Matt and I don't have because we're not wrestlers and we don't travel all over the country wrestling for different promotions. So thank you for doing that, and I hope everything goes well in Afghanistan. I don't know when you're actually leaving, but if you're still here over the next few weeks, you're welcome to call in and still be part of the show, even though we've given you this somewhat of a farewell. But that's all I got to say about that.
Well, thank you, man. I definitely appreciate it. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. And I can still, I'm watching Raw right now, but there's no wrestling going on, so I'm going to keep talking for a few minutes.
Yeah, well, it's Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night, so we're having Danny Only Appreciation Night.
Oh, so it's Shawn Michaels Appreciation Night on Raw, just like every Raw in the mid-90s?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Now, I love HBK. He was one of my favorites growing up. Fuck you if you don't like it. But what I was going to say is, like, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, being on the show has given me an opportunity to voice my grievances, to express my opinions. And I'm sure, I've said this 100 times, I'm sure there's people out there who don't think that I should be in wrestling. I think you're an idiot, because a lot of great minds in this business have told me that I'm doing right and that I'm doing the good thing. I'm not the best wrestler in the world. I'm not the most technical wrestler in the world. I don't have the best body. I might not cut the best promos, although I like to think I'm pretty good on the mic. But I think that I bring something positive to wrestling. If nothing else, it's my desire to make it better. When I was in the Army, I told my soldiers, I don't have the best PT score, but I will always have the cleanest uniform. I'll always have the shiniest boots. And there's something that I will always have is I will always be the most motivated NCO on the face of the earth. Because back then, motivation is all you needed. Motivation is just to keep going. And I beat that into my soldier's head to the point where when I left Germany, usually when you leave a duty station, they make you a plaque. My soldiers got me a replica United States Heavyweight Championship belt that said to Sergeant Thorne, the most motivated NCO on earth, never tap out. And I've always just tried to be the best at what I could be, you know. There's only one of each ilk, you know, and I've just tried to be the best that I could be. So I really appreciate the opportunity. I really appreciate being here. And if you keep the show going for a year, then I'll come back in here and kick whoever you brought on off, and I'll take back over. And who knows, maybe Rich Tate, if you're listening, if I come back in a year, we can have my own show. Who knows? But I really appreciated it, man. It was a lot of fun. I liked the people that we got to talk to. There's a lot of other people that I really wish could have been on the show, but it just didn't, you know, the cards didn't fall into place. But thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, before we get to Fun Fact with Danny Only, I just want to mention there's a lot of big shows this weekend. NWA Anarchy is this Saturday in Cornelia. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, which is, where is that? LJ, Blue Ridge,
yeah.
Danny?
Yeah,
Blue Ridge,
yeah.
I believe, right?
Hey,
Blue Ridge.
Idiot just had a sign on Raw that said, "Hi, Nana," and it was upside down.
So, anyway, Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, which is another NWA territory, is this Saturday as well, and they have Gunner from TNA, formerly from Anarchy, is going to be there, and then Rampage Pro Wrestling is Sunday down at Johnny G's Fun Center in Warner Robins at 3 p.m., and, of course, Empire Wrestling / PCW at Academy Theater on Friday. And all of those are shows that Danny has been a part of in some way.
Yep.
So just proves what Georgia's wrestling scene is losing with you going away. But I'm sure, like you said, you'll be back in a year and pick up where you left off here and elsewhere.
That's right, man.
So,
and go support indie wrestling, dude. I mean, I wrote something earlier that what fixes indie wrestling is shiesty promoters getting outed, shitty wrestlers leaving, and fans going to the show to appreciate wrestling. All that's a big circle. It goes round and round. If you got fans who are willing to go to a show and the promoter provides them a shitty show full of shitty wrestlers, those fans aren't going to come back. But if you get the shitty wrestlers out and you get the conniving promoters, who will remain nameless, but if you get the conniving promoters the fuck out of the business and you have quality products with quality wrestlers, the fans will come back. They won't feel ripped off. They'll come back the next week and the next week and the next week. It's possible.
Absolutely. So, on that note, Matt, what time is it?
Before I get to that, I'm going to tell three things that I'll never fucking forget about Danny Owens. One, I've never hated anybody on site as much as I hated Danny Only walking to the ring the first time. I just hated this motherfucker, and I wanted him to be terrible so I could really hate him. But he wasn't. And the next time I saw Danny Only, the first time I ever saw him wrestle, he was descending the stairs at Phillips Arena for the Hall of Fame, suited and booted like nobody had ever seen, I thought.
You saw this?
Oh, yeah.
I read about it and heard about it, but I did not witness it.
Oh, I witnessed it. I mean, son of a bitch. He's as real as it gets, and I hate it. And then the third thing is I got to see you go beat Davey Richards, wrestle your ass off, get double stomped in the throat, and still hold on and get the win. And I'm pleased as punch that I got to share a little space with you and sit in the rows and watch you do your thing. That being said, it is now time for our Fun Facts with Danny Owens.
My fun fact, outside of my family, my son is the most important thing in my life. My mother is somebody who obviously I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for. My wife is my rock, and hopefully we can do what we need to do, which this trip that I'm taking is part of that, to provide the best life I can. Outside of that, man, wrestling is the only thing that I've ever loved. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. It's the only thing that I wanted to really be a part of. I didn't play football in high school. I wasn't a popular kid. I didn't go to the parties. I wasn't a frat boy. I didn't get to play beer pong on Saturday night. None of that shit. I was picked on. I was beat up. I was spit on. I was thrown around. And I was told I was no good. So I really, really absorbed myself into these people that I saw on TV. Wrestling was the only thing that I really, really wanted to do. And I'm blessed in the fact, and I don't mean blessed by God, because if you don't know me, you don't know my stances, but I'm not going to judge yours. I'm thankful in the fact that I was able to be at least a little bit good. And I hope when I come back, I really hope that I can pick back up and at least be remembered as somebody that was really good. So this isn't the end, obviously. I'm not retiring. You know, even if I was quitting for good, I don't have a career to retire from. But it sucks to leave what you really love behind for a year. So peace out. And wrestling, keep it alive, because I'll be back. I love you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Danny.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.